I think this Billy Graham anecdote is probably more likely to be true than the other one that I shared, and I'll do better with the punchline on this one, or I hope. Billy Graham once told of a time when he was early in his ministry and he arrived in a small town to preach a sermon, and wanting to mail a letter, he asked a young boy where the post office was. And when the boy told him, Dr. Graham thanked him and said, "If you come to church this evening, you can hear me tell everyone how to get to heaven." And the young boy replied, "I'm not sure that I'm going to be there. How can you tell people to get to heaven if you don't even know where the post office is?" I'm not really all that worried about Billy Graham and his knowledge of how to get to heaven. I think we can be confident that he has heard this week, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he has now entered into his reward. And not only could Dr. Graham be certain of his place with Jesus because of his faith, but I don't know that we could come up with anyone who has done more in helping other people or more people to come to faith in Jesus as the Reverend Billy Graham has done. And we are right to admire Mr. Graham for all that he has accomplished in his life for Christ's kingdom. But I wonder, beyond admiration, if we find inspiration to be those sort of people as he was, who point others to Jesus. This morning, as we are now in the second week of Lent, we are also finishing our series on the Beatitudes. And so we bring these two things together as we consider this one of the Beatitudes. "Blessed are you when you are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And as we consider that scripture alongside our scripture from Mark's gospel, the Lenten reading for this morning, I'd like us to have hearts that are open towards considering whether or not we have avoided following Jesus in ways that might lead us near anything that looks like persecution, that might lead us towards anything that would look like this road that Jesus talks about in our reading this morning, a road that not only leads to the cross, but a journey that at times, for him and for us, would include something that might look or feel like persecution. Now, yeah, it's great that blessed are those who are persecuted, but if we're signing up for experiences, I don't know that any of us are all that willing to embrace persecution. And maybe that's not so much the problem as the problem being if we actively look to avoid anything that might lead us to be uncomfortable when it comes to living our faith in front of others. So I wonder specifically for each of us today, do we follow Jesus on this hard road of faithfulness as it relates to leading others to Jesus, or do we leave that to the experts like Billy Graham? God will not judge us to the standard of Billy Graham, right? Whew, we can be confident of that. But are we living in such a way that others who we are connected with in our life know about Jesus and the love that he has for them because of the way that we live and what we are sharing? The idea of sharing our faith, especially when we use that word evangelism, is something that scares most Christians. Nobody wants to be rejected, particularly when it has something to do with something that is as important to us as our faith. But I think what Jesus is calling us to in the scripture this morning is this hard road of faithfulness. This is what we call following Jesus. And if we're doing it fully, we will find ourselves in situations where not everyone will be accepting of what we have to say. The way that Mark writes it in his gospel, tells us that Peter has just made the first declaration of the disciples that Jesus is the Messiah. And we lift that up and we celebrate that for the wonder that it is that Peter had both the foresight and the courage to name this aloud. Jesus, you are the Messiah. I believe that. But what does Jesus do with that? Well, he goes right into this passage that we have heard read before us this morning, where Jesus shares that the Messiah is going to suffer. The Messiah is to be rejected, and the Messiah is going to end up being killed. This is not what Peter wants to hear. Sure, he'd love a pat on the back, but he doesn't want to hear about this journey that will lead to such pain and rejection. And as I read into what we know about the disciples, I think Peter is both upset for what this means for Jesus and what Jesus will suffer, in addition to the way that I think he's also looking out for himself in what Jesus has to say. We know from other places in the Gospels that the disciples expected that being close to the Messiah meant that they would have important positions. It meant that hopefully they would have some perks for being followers of the Messiah, likely some special rewards for being among some of the first to be followers of Jesus. Clearly, Peter did not want the road ahead to be hard in the way that Jesus is talking about it being hard. So Jesus looks to clear up what it really was going to mean to be his disciple. And he didn't want to clear it up just for the intimate group that had been following him from the beginning, but he steps out of this private moment that he had been sharing with Peter and those that had been following him for so long, and we're told that he calls the attention of the crowd that was near him to tell them that the road of faithfulness for Christians is going to have adversity. It needs to be about setting aside our self-interest for something bigger. I think too often we lack clarity about what it means to be followers of Jesus in our day-to-day lives. Now, we understand that it has to do with being part of a church and in letting Scripture speak to us, but it's more than just a private relationship with God. And Jesus is pretty clear here in these verses about what it means to be a faithful follower of him. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their lives for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. When it comes to living boldly for Jesus, there is a difference between sharing about the hope and the impact that Christ has had on our lives and looking to win arguments or to tell others that they are wrong when it comes to issues of faith or politics. And so if we're worried about living boldly for Jesus and think that means that we somehow need to obnoxiously prove everybody else wrong who doesn't believe like us, I don't think that's what Jesus is inviting us into. But I do believe that beyond just looking for arguments about faith, just for the sake of being right, that there is a way for us to walk faithfully. There is a way that may lead us to being persecuted for the righteousness that we've embraced as followers of Jesus. But it is a way where we share lovingly and humbly. But that won't always be accepted. But we must take a stand as we share about the importance of Jesus in our own lives with others. We need to be realistic and honest with what Jesus is saying to us here. That as we make this journey through Lent, that as we walk these hard roads of faithfulness that each of us are called to be on, that it is difficult, and yet Jesus is there for us to ask for help. If we are faithfully following Jesus, we will say and do things that are going to make other people uncomfortable at times. The Spirit will lead us, and the Holy Spirit needs us to speak words that may offend, even though that is not our intent. We see things like school shootings in Parkland. We see the moral decay of our culture around us, and we can talk with those who agree with us until we turn blue. But what are we really doing if we believe that Jesus is the only hope that this lost and hurting world has? What are we doing with sharing that hope with those who are close to us in these lives, those who have yet to experience the love and the grace of Jesus? Are we sharing the hope with those who don't yet know it? Our gospel reading this morning really puts before us in some very real ways a question that we each have to ask ourselves. Are we willing to share, even if that might make somebody else uncomfortable? Even if that makes us uncomfortable? Because Jesus lets us know that not only if we really love God will we share, but if we really love the other person and really yearn for them to know the hope that we have, then we need to allow our desire to share that hope to be stronger than the fear that we have of what might happen if we share the truth of what God is doing in our lives. Jesus has done the impossibly hard work of building the bridge between us and the Heavenly Father. Jesus has done the work to allow us to a place where we can know for eternity we will be with God. And so our faithfulness is not in trying to get ourselves or other people into eternity, but our faithfulness is letting people know about that bridge, about offering invitations for them to step onto it. Jesus is that bridge. It's not our strong arguments or our hard work to convince somebody else. The Holy Spirit is wanting to work in and through us. So the Holy Spirit is already preparing the hearts of those that we might share with. The Spirit goes along with us and giving us guidance about the words that we might say if we would trust God enough to open our mouth and to speak in humble boldness. We are not alone in walking what can be the hard and difficult road of faithfulness. But we are called to walk that path. We may never know the impact of our faithfulness. We may, and likely we will not, be able to look out on a crusade and see people coming up and praying because we have opened our mouths to say what God has put on our hearts. But not knowing the fruit should not stop us from being faithful to what God is calling us to. Because even though we may never know the impact of our faithfulness, even in those moments that seem so awkward, we need to remember that it is the work of Jesus that we are being faithful to. And Jesus so often does some of his best work in awkward moments. I mean, think about our lives and those things that have drawn us closer to God. It's not always in the neat packaged things that we fully understand. But it's often in those times when we have found ourselves confused or hurt, not knowing what the next step is, where somebody's faithfulness in speaking or loving us in those moments have helped us to see what God is really up to. We know we live in a dark and broken world. But will we have courage to live as lights in those who will bring healing? Hurt people don't always react well when healing is offered because they're hurt. Because getting healthy and accepting healing and help from others is hard. And oftentimes the way that we are broken has so much to do with how we identify ourselves that to hear that there might be an answer for our brokenness seems to call into question who we are. But again, those are the places where God is looking to work, to bring about transformation, and He's inviting us to point others towards His love and grace. Peter doesn't want to walk the road of faithfulness in a way that would be hard any more than we want to. But can we care enough to step beyond the hard and the awkward and in humble boldness point others to Jesus? It's easy to look at the faithfulness of somebody like Billy Graham and say, well, it must have been easy for him. But it was not always easy for him. Pastor and author Philip Yancey studied his life and even had the opportunity to interview Graham a couple times. And this week, Yancey wrote for Christianity Today this. He said, "The fundamentalist church of my youth viewed the upstart evangelist Billy Graham with deep suspicion. He invited members of the National Council of Churches and even Roman Catholics to sit on his crusade platforms. He seemed soft on communism, especially in his comments about the church behind the Iron Curtain. Perhaps most important, in those days of Jim Crow racism, he insisted on integrated crusades, even in white bastions like Alabama." Billy Graham walked the hard road of faithfulness, and he gives us a model for how that looks to do it with grace and in love. And we know that the world is different for how God used that faithfulness, in that for countless thousands of people, their eternities are different because he was willing to put himself out there, because he was willing to faithfully walk that hard road that may lead to persecution. But Jesus isn't asking any of us to be faithful to the opportunities of Billy Graham. He is asking you to be faithful to the opportunities that the Holy Spirit will put before you this very week. The opportunities that the Holy Spirit will put before you during this holy season of Lent. God is asking you to be faithful to the opportunities that will be before you as you walk these difficult roads of faithfulness. What will you do with the opportunities that the people God has put in your life give you to point to Jesus? Billy Graham once said, "Comfort and prosperity have never enriched the world as much as adversity has." And while our hearts may yearn for a faith that leads us to comfort and prosperity, are we willing to embrace the adversity that Jesus tells us will come as we lay down our lives and pick up our crosses? Will we be willing to embrace the life that may lead to persecution, that we would find ourselves blessed? On the road of faithfulness, we will find ourselves walking through adversity. On our road to faithfulness, we will find ourselves needing to decide, will we do the faithful thing and point to Jesus, or will we ignore what the Spirit wants to do through us because we're afraid or because it might be awkward? I want to leave you with just a few ways that will help you, that God wants to help you as it comes to your faithfulness in walking these roads that would point to and share Jesus with others. The first is to pray for wisdom. God, who is it that you want me to share your hope with? And so God very well may put a particular person on your heart, or maybe a particular place where you have some influence, maybe where you work, or God may just say generally, you know, be ready to share with your neighbors. Maybe he knows that if he told you specifically who you would share, you'd say, oh my goodness, I am going to avoid that person because I know how that's going to go. But pray for wisdom. In addition to praying for wisdom, ask God for courage. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have in Jesus. I don't think God is looking for us to be able to win intellectual arguments with people, but I think what most often has the impact is, can we point to the hope that we have in Jesus? So maybe we say something like, well, as we hear what somebody's walking through, we can say, well, that's not exactly what I went through, but when I was struggling, can I tell you about the way that Jesus made a difference for me? The last part, can we be humbly bold through the strength of the Holy Spirit? One of the ways that I find works really well for me when I'm talking to people and I have yet to be told I can't do it, although I'm sure the day will come, but I like to say, you know what, I'm going to be praying for you anyways. Is there something specific I can be praying for you about? And that works on people who are already following Jesus as well as those who aren't. As we close our time today and look to head to the table, as we pray, I want to have us each open our hearts. Maybe we're in a place where we need to welcome Jesus for the first time or welcome him anew, that we would know that hope because we have been living without it. And so I want to give us the opportunity to do that. But I also want to give us the space for us to put our hearts before God and to pray and to seek Jesus for who it is that he might give us the opportunity to pray for, to walk alongside, to share the hope that he has for them. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we all need you again and again. And so we put our hearts before you this morning, and Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who needs to open themselves to you in a significant way for the first time, that they would know your presence and your love. Lord, if there's somebody here today that Lord, knows that they need to recommit themselves or open themselves to your hope and your love in a new and deeper way, may we hear the call and the work of your Spirit in this place this morning. Jesus, I pray that they would know the power of your Holy Spirit pouring over and into them as they would open themselves to your presence and your grace. Lord God, I also pray for each of us that we would boldly step into places that maybe we weren't normally be comfortable with. Situations where maybe we feel awkward or unprepared because we don't have it all figured out ourselves. And yet, Lord, you have put folks in our lives who need to know you, who need the hope that you have to offer them. And so, Lord, I pray for each of us that we would have hearts open to opportunities, to particular people that you may lay on our hearts during this time, that we would seek you for wisdom as to what or how we may say it, that we would seek you for courage, that we would give the most substantial thing we have, which is our story about how you are working in our hearts. Lord, help us to not go out as those who are ready to make and win arguments, but help us to go out as those who in our humility are looking to boldly share you with those who need you. We pray these things in the power of Jesus our Christ. Amen.